We're beginning a new sermon series called The Power of Generosity. Over the next 3 weeks, we will examine the significance of being a generous and faithful steward of all that God has entrusted to us. The scripture that we'll study today invites us to show our love of God by offering our first and our best to the Lord. And this scripture comes from Genesis chapter 4. It speaks of the offerings of Cain and Abel. And these offerings, by the way, are the first offerings to God recorded in the Bible. So let's listen now to our scripture passage. I'll read verses 1 through 10 of Genesis chapter 4. And this is what the scripture says. Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. Next, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel, for his part, brought of the firstlings of his flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain said to his brother Abel, Let us go out to the field. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is your brother Abel? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. Amen. It's November 8th. And while we still have a few more weeks until Thanksgiving, I imagine some of us have already started our Christmas shopping, buying presents for our families and our friends. And some of our kids have already started making lists of what they want for Christmas. Giving and getting gifts is synonymous with the Christmas season. And it's always a ton of fun. But have you ever received a gift and thought to yourself, It sure doesn't look like any thought or effort went into this. Well, sometimes we get gifts that we really don't like. And some of those gifts we end up re-gifting to others. Now, this practice is generally frowned upon, but it still happens. And U.S. News and World Report even published an article a couple years ago about the do's and don'ts of re-gifting. One recommendation listed in that article is that you shouldn't re-gift within your family, and that seems obvious enough. The article also recommended that if you're going to re-gift an item, you should, quote, package it prettily. In other words, dress it up and make it look as nice as possible. That article drove home the point that sometimes we receive gifts that we really don't want. And sometimes we give gifts that we really don't want. We even do this to God when we don't put forth much effort or thought into what we offer, when we don't give our best. In moments like this, we give half-hearted gifts. We see this happen in Genesis chapter 4, where we meet Cain and Abel. They were the two sons of Adam and Eve. Cain was the older brother. He was a farmer, He spent his days tilling the ground and growing plants, fruits, and vegetables. Abel was a shepherd. He spent his time taking care of sheep and goats and cattle. Both brothers worked hard, and they both experienced the reward of their hard work. Then one day, Cain and Abel each made an offering to God. The scripture doesn't explain why they made those offerings. God had not commanded them to do this, and no one forced them to give away some of their resources. But they seemed to have a natural desire to share and to be in fellowship with God. St. Augustine wrote about this type of desire in his Confessions. He said, "You stir man to take pleasure in praising you, because you have made us for yourself, and our hearts is restless until it rests in you." We've been created to be in fellowship with God, and there is something built within us that naturally wants to share what we have with the Lord. We see this play out with Cain and Abel. They both made an offering to God. And the scripture says in verses 3 and 4, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel, for his part, brought of the firstlings of his flock. And that introduces us to the concept of first fruit offerings. The term first fruits sounds like churchy language, but it's a concept rooted in biblical times when people lived in an agrarian society. Back then, most everyone was a farmer or a shepherd, and harvest time was when they reaped what they sowed. The term first fruits refers to the first portion of the harvest, which is given to God. This is different from a tithe. It's a different kind of offering. Now, later in the Bible, the Israelites were called to bring their first fruits as an offering to the Lord, as a way of demonstrating their obedience to God, as well as a sign that they trusted that the Lord would provide enough crops to feed their families. Now, over time, lots of different rules developed around these first fruit offerings. One commandment found in Exodus chapter 22 says, "You shall not delay to make offerings from the fullness of your harvest and from the outflow of your presses." The Israelites were also required to bring these gifts to the temple, to the priest, and they weren't allowed to harvest any other crops until they had presented their first fruit offerings. But why was that the case? Well, the Hebrew word for first fruit is bikurim, and it means promise to come. These gifts were made with a hope or a promise of a greater harvest to follow. The people believed God would bless their faithfulness. We can trace this concept of first fruits all the way back to God's work in creation. Because God created everything that exists, all creation belongs to the Lord. Psalm 24, verse 1 says as much. It reads, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. And therefore the first fruits of the harvest belong to God and should be given to Him." Offering our first fruits means that we offer to God our very best without any hesitation or any regret. And this includes our money, our talents, our time, and whatever else God might ask from us. Giving of our first fruits is about choosing God and making the Lord a priority. Our scripture tells us that Cain brought to the Lord fruit from the ground, while Abel brought an offering from his flock, specifically the firstlings of his flock, including the fat portions. God was pleased with Abel's gift, but not Cain's. Verse 4 says, "The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard." Now, why was that the case? Did God prefer an animal sacrifice over a plant? The scripture doesn't give us a clear or direct answer, but what we do know is that Cain was angry and his countenance fell. He wasn't in a good mood, and he certainly wasn't cheerful. His brother, however, stood in contrast to this. When Abel made his gift, God held him and it in regard. Bible scholars have offered a variety of reasons to explain why God responded so differently to these two brothers. Some have suggested that the Lord preferred Abel's gift because it was a blood offering. Others have pointed out that technically Cain did not offer a first fruits offering. It was more like a second or a third fruits offering. And for that reason, God rejected it. But there really isn't enough evidence in the Bible to support either of these theories. The best reason that I've come across deals with the fact that Cain's attitude had soured. He wasn't having a good attitude about giving. And the evidence for this is seen in the conversation that he had with God in verses 6 and 7, where the Lord says, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it." The idea that Cain had a less than positive attitude about giving affected his faith. And that idea is reinforced in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, where it says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith he still speaks." Abel was happy about giving to God, whereas Cain was less than enthusiastic. He gave half-heartedly. And after God responded to their gifts, it became even clearer that Cain's heart wasn't in the right place. His attitude became severe. He couldn't control the bad attitude that had been lurking at his door. And that led to his sin. I think Cain saw giving back to God as just another burden. He had toiled under the heat of the sun, pouring out his sweat as he tilled up the soil and farmed the land. He probably thought to himself, "Why do I have to do something more?" He wasn't feeling happy or glad or joyful when he shared his offering with God. His attitude affected his generosity, which reminds us of the critical role attitude plays. Like lots of us, I grew up on hand-me-downs. In fact, my brother and I shared a lot of our clothes when we were young because we were similar in size. And about once a year, my mom would come home with a couple bags of clothes from our older cousin Brian. Steve and I were always excited about this because we were grateful to have some new outfits. We had ripped through those bags to see what was there. And occasionally, arguments would break out. We would fight about who would get the pair of stonewashed jeans or the pair of jams. Frankly, I'm glad those styles no longer exist, but it was easy to get a bad attitude when we were working out who would get the different clothes. Now, if you've ever had to share something with your siblings, you know it's a lot easier if it's something that your sibling doesn't want. But when you both want the same thing, it gets really hard. Having a good attitude about sharing, though, can be a difference maker. When we share a gift with God, the attitude behind the gift is really more important than what we give. God certainly wants us to share from our resources, but to do so cheerfully. In 2 Corinthians 9, Paul emphasizes the importance of our attitude in giving. And he writes, "Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now, there are lots of things in life where people are cheerful and happy to part with their money. You know, tickets to a U2 or Beyonce concert sell out in minutes, as do tickets to a Hamilton show. Last month, Apple released its newest iPhone. There wasn't as much fanfare this year as with previous iPhone releases, but people are still willing to spend a lot of money to get a new phone. And so it's obvious that as consumers, we're willing to cheerfully give away our money without any hesitation so that we can get some really good things. But this pales in comparison to God, who created us, saved us, and loves us. I think Abel had this in mind when he made his offering, because he was grateful for his relationship with God and for all the many blessings that he had received. He was happy to give his best. He was happy to give of his first fruits. Giving our first fruits to God is a reflection of our relationship with the Lord. If we don't think much of God, then we probably won't give generously. But if God is a priority, then we'll find ways to nurture our relationship with the Lord. We'll find ways to be generous with what we have. And giving generously shows that we are grateful for all that God has given to us. If this is something that you want to work on, then let me suggest you do three things. First, pray. Ask God what you should do with your money and your resources. Seek guidance so that you can grow in faithfulness. Then set your priorities. Now, the idea behind a first fruit offering is to put God first. When you set up a personal budget for this coming year, I encourage you to put giving at the top of the list. The goal is to make sure that God is a priority in your finances. And where you put your money is often a good sign of what you think is most important. And third, give. Figure out the amount of money that you want to give, and then make a plan of where you're going to give that money. Maybe there's a person in need that you can help. Or perhaps there's a specific ministry at the church that you would like to support. Just remember that there are many, many different ways that you can give and make a difference. But the key with all of this is to give with a glad and generous heart. And that kind of giving is powerful. God has generously given to us all that we have. Let's show our gratitude by giving back our best and with a cheerful heart. I invite you to join me now in prayer. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Gracious God, your generosity is seen in the world you've created, in the life you give us, and in the love you share through Jesus Christ. Today, we've been reminded to follow your example by sharing our best with you. Guide us to be better stewards of the gifts you have shared with us. And we pray that we would show our love of you by generously and joyfully sharing what we have. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.